Jina Magita Jus, nsen milkom, nilqakom għal programmiħor il-ħrejjef, l-erf u l-maġija. U l-programm tal-lum se joħodna ġodi klart ta' Baħar Blu, xmajjar, montanji, foresti, irdumijiet u desert. Pajjiż mimli b'tradizzjonijiet, folklor u kultura. Il-kontinent Awstraljan. Nistqar li l-programm tal-lum se jqanqalni għaliex dan il-pajjiż huwa wkoll art weliedi. U biex nitkellmu dwar il-ħrejjef irridu mmorru flibat żminijiet li l-aboriġni sejħulu Dreamtime. Tju kurpa jissejjaħ. U dan huwa il-perjodu ta' qabel ma beda iż-żmien. Iż-żmien ta' Dreamtime. Li skont l-aboriġini huwa żmien il-kreazzjoni. L-ispirti tal-antenati ħadu l-forma tal-bniedem u kreaw l-annimali, il-pjanti, il-blat u l-affarijiet l-oħra li huma parti min-natura. Wara l-ħolqien dawn l-antenati inbidlu fi-stilel, xmajjar, blat, ilma. Mhux ta' bxejn illi l-aboriġini jqisu siti antiki bħala sagri għaliex mimlin spirti. Mhux biss l-ispiritwalità iżda wkoll l-erf jinġib min-natura. Hemm ukoll ħrejjef minn reġjuni diversi bħal dawk ġejjin minn Arnhem, it-territorju tal-punent tal-Awstralja. U se nsemmalkom ħrafa kurjuża ħafna li jisimha The Story of the Wagalag Sisters jew inkella Wagalak. Dan huwa post sagru fejn ħadd ma jitħalla jirfes. Mela qiegħu nisimgħuha. The Story of the Wagalag Sisters. The Wagalag sisters are creation sisters. They walked across the land, creating the landscape. Their spirit name is Diang Ka Bu. The two Wagalag sisters walked a long way right up to one place near the river where they stopped to sit down. They heard the sound of men nearby. They took off their dilly bags and hung them up. Their dilly bags contained all their power, sacred ornaments, power objects. They followed the sound of the men, leaving their dilly bags behind. Much later, the older Wagalag sister had a baby. They went hunting and caught goanna, blue-tongue lizard, and possum. They built a strong shelter house with paper bark to sleep in. They prepared a huge fire to cook their meal. The elder sister took her new baby down to the river to wash. Some time after, the animals had been cooking in the fire. The Wagalag sisters saw them, get up, burnt from the fire, and run towards the nearby river. The sisters went to sleep hungry in their hut. A huge rain and lightning storm hit, and they were awoken by the appearance of a watu, a native dog or dingo. The dog disappeared, and the sounds of animals could be heard everywhere. Eventually, a rainbow came out. The dog had smelt the mother and the new baby in the river where they washed. It came to the hut to look for the baby, then it morphed into a huge rainbow. The dog rainbow serpent at the Wagalag sisters and their baby. So ma hija daqsxejn makabra din il-ħrafa. Hemm ukoll il-ħrafa dwar il-gagaġġu. Li huwa maħsub illi dawn huma l-ewwel aboriġni ta' dan ir-reġjun u ġew waqt l-Ice Age. Mela se nsemmaħilkom. Life started when a creator woman called Waramurungunju came out of the sea and gave birth to the first people and gave them the languages. She carried with her a digging stick and a dilly bag, holding yams, water lilies, and other important plants. She planted the food and created water holes with her digging stick on the ground. Other creator beings appeared. After completing her creative act, Waramurungunju turned herself into a rock. Mela, semmejna illi dawn l-ewwel aboriġini ġew waqt l-Ice Age. Instabet evidenza F'ċertu post li llum jissejjaħ Kakadu National Park, fejn l-esperti jaħsbu illi l-ewwel aborigini ġew dan il-post 50,000 sena ilu. Kienu jemnu wkoll fis-serpent tal-Awsalla li huwa assoċjat mal-ilma. Issa llum biex jiena nispjega dawn il-fatti, irrid bil-fors nispjega bil-ħrejjef. U ejja nisimgħu din il-ħrafa dwar dan is-serpent li jisima The Rainbow and the Wandering Boys u tkun tistgħu tifhmuni aħjar. Far to the west, in the deep blue sea, there dwells a great serpent named Tujin. His scales are of many shimmering colors. When a rainbow appears in the sky, it is Tujin, curving his back and the sun reflecting the colors of his scales. Many years ago, a tribe of blacks camped close to a sea beach. One morning, they all went out to fish and hunt, with the exception of the two boys, whom the old men left in charge of the camp. "Wander not into the forest, lest the wild dogs eat you, or to the beach, where Tujin the serpent is waiting for children who wander alone." This was the parting advice of the old men to the boys. When the men had departed, the boys played about the camp for a while, but they soon grew tired of their games. The day was very hot, and in the distance the boys could hear the dull, deep booming of the surf. Both the boys were longing to go to the beach, but were afraid to speak their desire. At last the elder boy spoke and said, "The fires of the sun are burning bright today, but on the breeze I can feel the cool breath of the sea. Let us go to the beach, and we shall return before the shadow of night has fallen. The men will not know." The other boy hesitated and was afraid, but at last he yielded, and together they wandered hand in hand through the bush. After walking for some time, they came to an opening in the trees, and before their expectant gaze a wonderful scene unfolded. A golden beach stretched far away until it was lost to view in the dim distance. The cool waves rolled lazily in great green billows from the outer reef and dashed in a haze of sparkling white foam on the hot sands of the palm-fringed beach. The song of the sea rose in a deep, loud booming and gradually died away to a low, soft murmuring. The boys were lost in wonder at the beauty of the scene. Never had they seen such an expanse of water sparkling in the sun like the blue sky. Over its rippled surface, the shadows of the clouds floated like sails across the sun. Tujin, the serpent, had seen the boys coming from afar, and while they played on the beach, he swam swiftly and silently to the shore and seized them. When the men arrived at the camp, they discovered the absence of the boys. They searched the bush all through the night, and at dawn came to the beach. Far from the shore, they saw two black rocks jutting out of the sea. Then they knew that Tujin had taken the wandering boys and turned them into rocks. The men turned their faces again towards the camp. Their hearts were heavy and their thoughts were sad. To this day, the rocks remain between Double Island Point and Inship Point. When a rainbow appears in the sky, the old men of the tribe tell the story of the disobedience and punishment of the wandering boys. Inkredibli f'dawn il-ħrejjef, kulħadd jinbidel fi blat. Ara daqsxejn il-blat x'ifisser għall-aborigini. Però jiena nista' niggarantilkom li dawn ix-xeni li għadni kif rajtilkom dwarhom fl-istorja verament jeżistu. Biss jien twelidtu għex titilbot minn rainforest fuq il-barrier reef u dawn ix-xtud bil-palm, dawn ix-xtud li ma jispiċċaw qatt verament jeżistu. U min jaf kemm konna nikkampjaw fuqhom. Issa nerġgħu lura dwar l-istorja innifisha, hawnhekk kellimna dwar dan is-serpent. U l-aborigini jemnu illi matul id-dream time dan is-serpent kien qiegħed taħt l-art. U id-dinja kienet kiesħa, arwina u ċatta. Lesti biex jitwieldu minn żaq is-serpent kien hemm kull razza ta' annimal. U kif kienu waslu biex jitwieldu? Dak il-moviment ta' twelit ħoloq il-muntanji, ix-xmajjar, ix-xemx u l-kuluri tan-natura. Tiskanta kemm kienu immaġinattivi dawn in-nies, eh? Dan is-serpent kien jissejjaħ għal-Muġi, jew inkella tuġin kif għadna kif qrajna. U fil-fatt dan għadhom jemnuħ sal-lum u jarawħ fil-forma tal-qawsalla. Imma daqs kemm jista' jkun ħanin billi jġib ix-xita jista' jkolli ġib l-arar. Isimgħu din il-ħrafa ferm ħelwa dwar dan l-arar, The Great Flood. In the dream time, a terrible drought swept across the land. The leaves of the trees turned brown and fell from the branches. The flowers drooped their heads and died, and the green grass withered, as though the spirit from the barren mountain had breathed upon it with a breath of fire. When the hot wind blew, the dead reeds rattled in the riverbed, and the burning sands shimmered like a silver lagoon. All the water had left the rippling creeks and deep, still water holes. In the clear blue sky, the sun was a mass of molten gold. The clouds no longer drifted across the hills, and the only darkness that fell across the land was the shadow of night and death. After many had died of thirst, all the animals in the land met together in a great council to discover the cause of the drought. They travelled many miles. Some came from the bush, and others from the distant mountains. The seabirds left their homes in the cliffs where the white surf thundered and flew without resting many days and nights. When they all arrived at the chosen meeting place in central Australia, they discovered that a frog of enormous size had swallowed all the water in the land and thus caused the drought. After much serious discussion, it was decided that the only way to obtain the water again was to make the frog laugh. The question now arose as to which animal should begin the performance, and after a heated argument, the pride of place was given to the kookaburra. The animals then formed themselves into a huge circle with a frog in the centre. Red kangaroos, grey wallaroos, rock and swamp wallabies, kangaroo rats, bandicoots, native bears, and ring-tailed possums all sat together. The emu and native companion forgot their quarrel, and the bell bird his chimes. Even a butcher bird looked pleasantly at a brown snake, and the porcupine forgot to bristle. A truce had been called in the war of the bush. Now the kookaburra seated himself on the limb of a tree, and with a wicked twinkle in his eye looked straight at the big bloated frog, ruffled his brown feathers, and began to laugh. At first he made a low, gurgling sound deep in his throat, as though he was smiling to himself, but gradually he raised his voice and laughed louder and louder until the bush re-echoed with the sound of his merriment. The other animals looked on with very serious faces, but the frog gave no sign. He just blinked his eyes and looked as stupid as only a frog can look. The kookaburra continued to laugh until he nearly choked and fell off the tree, but all without success. The next competitor was a frill lizard. It extended the frill around its throat and, puffing out its jaws, capered up and down. But there was no humour in the frog. He did not even look at the lizard, and laughter was out of the question. It was then suggested that the dancing of the native companion might tickle the fancy of the frog. So the native companion danced until she was tired, but all her graceful and grotesque figures failed to arouse the interest of the frog. The situation was very serious, and the council of animals was at its wit's end for a reasonable suggestion. In their anxiety to solve the difficulty, they all spoke at once, and the din was indescribable. Above the noise could be heard a frantic cry of distress. A carpet snake was endeavouring to swallow a porcupine. The bristles had stuck in his throat, and a kookaburra, who had a firm grip of his tail, was making an effort to fly away with him. Close by, two bandicoots were fighting over the possession of a sweet root, but while they were busily engaged in scratching each other, a possum stole it. They then forgot their quarrel and chased the possum, who escaped danger by climbing a tree and swinging from a branch by his tail. In this peculiar position, he ate the root at his leisure, much the disgust of the bandicoots below. After peace and quiet had been restored, the question of the drought was again considered. A big eel, who lived in a deep water hole in the river, suggested that he should be given an opportunity of making the frog laugh. Many of the animals laughed at the idea, but in despair, they agreed to give him a trial. The eel then began to wriggle in front of the frog. At first, he wriggled slowly, then faster and faster, until his head and tail met. Then he slowed down and wriggled like a snake with the shivers. After a few minutes, he changed his position and flopped about like a well-bitten grub on an ant bed. The frog opened his sleepy eyes. His big body quivered, his face relaxed, and at last, he burst into a laugh that sounded like rolling thunder. The water poured from his mouth in a flood. It filled the deepest rivers and covered the land. Only the highest mountain peaks were visible, like islands in the sea. Many men and animals were drowned. The pelican, who was a black fellow at this time, sailed from island to island in a great canoe and rescued any black fellow he saw. At last he came to an island on which there were many people. In their midst he saw a beautiful woman and fell in love with her. He rescued all the men on this island until the woman alone remained. Every time he made a journey she would ask him to take her with the men, but he would reply, "There are many in the canoe. I will carry you next time." He did this several times, and at last the woman guessed that he was going to take her to his camp. She then determined to escape from the pelican. While he was away, she wrapped a log in her possum rug and placed it near the gunwale. Then, as the flood was subsiding, she escaped to the bush. When he returned, he called to her, but receiving no answer, he walked over to the possum rug and touched it with his foot. It, however, did not move. He then tore the rug away from what he supposed was a woman. But when he found a log, he was very angry and resolved to be revenged. He painted himself with white clay and set out to look for any other black fellows with the intention of killing them. But the first pelican he met was so frightened by his strange appearance that it struck him with a club and killed him. Since that time, pelicans have been black and white in remembrance of the great flood. The flood gradually subsided, and the land was again clothed in the green garments of spring. Through the tall green reeds the voice of the night wind whispered soft music to the river, and when the dawn came from the eastern sky, the birds sang a song of welcome to the new flood, a flood of golden sunlight. Inkredibli meta noqgħod niftakar illi kont ngħix rib dawn l-annimali kollha li semmejna f'din il-ħrafa. Biss minn Joel Creek li kien ġej mill-baħar kienu jiġu l-fkieren u min jaf f'dan il-creek li kien qiegħed ġol ġnien tagħna kemm qattajna sigħat nomu magħhom u naqbdu l-lobsters. Ija dan il-programm qed verament iġeddidli l-memorji. Issa l-aboriġni kienu jemnu wkoll fil-mostri pal Bigfoot u l-jeti. Iżda l-Awstraljani jisejħulhom il-jawi u l-banjib. Il-jawi huwa simili ħafna tal-Bigfoot u l-banjib jiġbaħ ħafna lill-gorilla għalkemm id-dera dan il-banjib kien jieħu forom differenti. Hemm min ukoll jirrakkonta li hu inviżibbli li għajnejh biss jixalu. Jingħad illi dan il-banjib huwa perikolus immens u jibla l-persuni. Il-kwinkin huwa spirtu kultant ħażin u kultant tajjeb. L-aboriġini lil dan il-kwinkin penġewh fuq l-urdumijiet fuq il-blat. Da ġili penġuh twil u bla grazzja, dan kienu jagħmluh meta kienu jpinġuh bħala spirtu ħażin, mentri meta kienu jpinġuh bħala spirtu tajjeb kienu jpinġuh b'ġisem iktar tont. Se nsemmalkom ħrafa dwar dan il-banjib li kien jgħix ġola dajjar. U waraw kemm hija verament fantastika din ir-rafa. In Australia, the mysterious blue mountains rise high above lush rainforests and deep valleys. In the area where lived the Gundungurra people, there rises an outcrop topped by three rocky formations known as the Three Sisters. This is the story of how they came to be there. Long, long ago, the mystical land of Gondwana was beautiful, peaceful, and untouched. In Gondwana, there lived Tayawan, a clever man of the Gandungura people. He had three daughters called Menhi, Wimla, and Ganadu, whom he treasured above all else. In a deep hole in the valley, there lived a Bunyip, a huge, evil creature who loved to feast on human flesh, particularly that of young girls and women. Its cry was harsh and horrible, and if you heard it, the only safe thing to do was run away as quickly as possible. Everyone feared the Bunyip. If you needed to pass its hole, it was important to creep very quietly, so that it was not disturbed. When Tayawan had to pass the hole, he would leave his daughters safely on the cliff above, behind a rocky wall, just in case. One day, waving goodbye to his daughters, he descended the cliff steps down towards the path near the Bunyip's hole. While the girls were waiting and chatting on top of the cliff, a huge centipede suddenly appeared. Startled, Menhi screamed, jumped up, picked up a stone, and threw it at the centipede. The stone missed the centipede, but rolled over the edge of the cliff and, picking up speed, crashed into the valley below. The sound echoed all round the mountains. Birds, animals, and even fairies stopped still as the rocks behind the tree sisters shook and split open, leaving them perched together on a thin ledge. The Bunyip, angry at being awakened, roared and dragged himself through the split to see the terrified sisters cowering on the ledge. His evil eyes widened in delight at the feast before him. Tayawan looked up and saw the Bunyip reaching for his daughters, so he pointed his magic bone at the girls and immediately turned them into stone. They would be safe there until the Bunyip had gone, and then Tayawan would change them back to their former selves. But the Bunyip, angered at being deprived of his prey, chased Tayawan through the forest and up a mountain, where he found himself trapped. So Tayawan used his magic bone again and changed himself into a lyrebird and glided away. Everyone was safe. But then, in dismay, Tayawan realized that he had dropped his bone whilst changing. After the Bunyip had gone back to his deep, dark pool, Tayawan glided down to the forest floor and searched for his magic bone, where he can still be seen to this day in the shape of the lyrebird, scratching and searching the forest floors of the Blue Mountains, looking for his bone, calling to his daughters above, and feeding on insects while he searches. The tree sisters stand silently watching him from their ledge, hoping and hoping that one day their father will find his magic bone and be able to turn them back into Aboriginal girls. Kem verament għandhom kultura antika dawn l-aborigini u meta naqraw dwar il-protesti li jagħmlu biex jissalvagwardjaw it-territorji tagħhom, kultant ma nifhmuhomx. Issa meta tara x'hemm wara dan il-patrimonju, tibda tifhem xi ħaġa. Mela jiena l-ġirien tiegħi, speċjalment meta morna ngħixu fid-dar iż-żgħira li l-Awstraljani jsejħu Hampi, għaliex qabel konna noqogħdu ġo dar ikbar, però meta sirna nafu li ġejjin Malta konna ċċaqlaqna, kienna ħafna ġirien u ħafna minnhom kienu aboriġini, min jaf kemm labt mat-tfal tagħhom jiena. U meta rġajt mort lura l-Awstralja biex nara lill-art weliedi, niftakar ippruvajt infittex din iż-dar żgħira fejn konna noqogħdu li kif għadtilkom tissejjaħ Hampi. U niftakar illi dar kienet kollha mdawra ħaxix, xoli, u bdejna naħsbu li hemm ħadd joqgħod hemmhekk. U f'daqqa waħda najtu ħareġ dan l-aboriġinu u bdejna nkellmuh u sirna nafu li dan kien jaħdem mal-papa tiegħi xi darba. U da f'daqqa waħda beda jkellimna bil-Malti. Inkredibbli, speċi ta' kien għadda żmien, kbirt u kodna fiktar informazzjoni dwar l-aboriġini, pero qatt ma b'sart li kien hemm aboriġini li jitkellmu bil-Malti. U min jaf ukoll meta konnax l-Awstralja, min jaf kemm kienu jaqbżu kangaroos minn kull imkien. Kienu verament perikolużi, speċjalment meta jkunu kbar. U xiera illi nispiċċaw dan il-programm bi ħrafa żgħira dwar il-kangaroo u l-imu. Buħra the kangaroo and dinner one the emu. In the dream time, everything was dark because there was no daytime. Buħra the kangaroo took dinner one, the emu, to be his wife, and they were happy for quite a while. Then the emu became very restless because Buħra only wanted to lay around all the time and sleep. And because the emu is used to a lot of exercise, she longed to stretch her legs. So she began to complain about his laziness and then about the dark. Dinner one would fiddle with the leaves on the ground, and the leaves would sometimes fall on his face and wake him up. Finally, he said, "Come with me." So they went off into the darkness, stumbling along, falling over logs, and especially scratching the emu's legs until the feathers around that area fell off. Then they came to a clearing where Buħra said to his wife, "Wait here." And he began to roll back the night until daylight came through and his wife began to run around, which is why the emu is a fast and scaly-legged bird. Nispera lill-maġija ta' dawn il-ħrejjef saħritkom, hekk kif anqlu ħafna memorji fija. U fil-programm li jmiss se mmorru f'kontinent tal-fast food, tal-American Dream, kontinent Amerikan, issa meta tħaffer fil-fond tissib kultura indiġena ta' tribujiet bħal Wabanaki, Anishinaabe u oħrajn. Se nitkellmu wkoll dwar x'kien il- Jackalope, il-hoop snake, il-saja, il-blood, cloth boy u ħafna elementi oħra li jorbtuna mal-ħrejjef. Sa dak it-tant, jina Margaret Aġus, insemmilkom.